Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. Paul said that an elder or a bishop must not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now these are the last two qualifications for elders or bishops. The text starts in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, all the way through verse 7, gives us these requirements for any man who is to be an elder or a bishop or pastor in the church. A man must meet these requirements to be in this office. So let's look at these two that we've just read today in verse 6. An elder is not to be a novice. Now, the word novice means someone who is a new convert. The English word neophyte comes from this exact same Greek word that is translated novice here. Now, of course, when people talk about a neophyte today, sometimes they use that word in a derogatory way, but the word novice here simply means a new convert, a new Christian. It means a newcomer to the faith. And an elder is not to be a new Christian. He is not to be a new convert. The Bible talks about babes in Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And the Bible not only talks about babes in Christ, but also talks about full-grown men or those of full age in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And so Paul says that an elder is not to be a babe in Christ. He is not to be one who has just recently been baptized. An elder in the church must be a seasoned, experienced man. He must have gone through the school of life. And that takes time. As a matter of fact, it takes years. Now notice this qualification along with some of the other qualifications that are given for elders. The Bible says that an elder must be the husband of one wife, that he must have believing children. Well, that means that this man has to have been married for years, because he has to be married long enough to have children, and then he has to be married long enough and be a father long enough for those children to become Christians. So that takes some time. And just being married for years teaches him a lot. The fact that he is a father and has been a father for years has given him an education in and of itself. And so these qualifications show that a man who is going to be an elder in the church must have been married for years. He must have been a father for years. And he must have been in the church long enough to be grounded and to be mature. Now, this time and experience is good. This time and this experience for the man who is going to be an elder to meet this qualification is absolutely necessary. This seasoning will make him more stable as a Christian and more stable as a leader among God's people. The time that it takes for him to mature in the faith will test his character, and he needs that. He needs it for himself, and he needs that for others to see in him. In Matthew 13, 20 and 21, the Bible shows that when people become Christians, they are tested. Jesus said that persecution and affliction will arise because of the Word of God. Because of a man's allegiance to Jesus Christ, he's going to be persecuted and he's going to be afflicted. And Jesus shows in that passage that there are some Christians that just quit. They just give up because things get hard. Well, an elder needs to have been in the church long enough so that he can go through that proving ground, so that he can have his character tested. And Jesus also said in Matthew 13, verse 22, that there are other people who become Christians, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. That happens to some Christians. Well, if a man has been an elder for some time and he's weathered these storms, he's proven himself to have this qualification of being mature in the faith. This time that it takes for him to mature will build patience through these hardships that he goes through. It will teach him how to deal with religious questions and religious differences. And above all, it will humble him. And that is the very thing that Paul is talking about in this passage. That's the very thing that Paul says is necessary for a man to be an elder in the church. Now, Paul doesn't use the word humble here. He doesn't say that a man who is going to be an elder must be humble. He doesn't exactly use that word, but the idea is written all over what we're seeing here. Because he says that an elder is not to be a novice or a new convert, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. An elder needs to be mature enough so that he won't be tempted to be prideful, so that he won't get the big head. That's the reason why that he is to be mature in the faith. Now, in life, we oftentimes see that authority and position can go to a man's head. Well, being an elder is a position of authority in the church. As a matter of fact, that is the only position of authority in the church. There are two offices in the church, the office of elders and the office of deacons. But the office of deacons is not a position, a work, or office of authority. But the position of elders in the church is a position or an office of authority. And one thing that no church needs is a prideful elder. In Proverbs 13, verse 10, the Bible says that pride causes contention, and churches don't need that. Now, if he is prideful, if you appoint a man who is a new convert, he's not mature, and he becomes prideful, then Paul says that he is apt to fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now, the condemnation of the devil here, as far as I know, could mean one of two things. In the first place, the condemnation of the devil could mean the same condemnation that the devil received. The New King James Version actually puts the word same in there. It puts it in italics because it's actually not in the original. But the idea is that the devil received condemnation from God because he was prideful. The devil became prideful, he rebelled, and he was condemned by God. And so it could be that what Paul is saying is that an elder is not to be a newcomer to the faith because he may be tempted to become prideful. His authority and position might go to his head and cause him to be prideful, and if that happens, then he's going to fall into the same kind of condemnation that the devil fell into. On the other hand, the condemnation of the devil here could refer to the condemnation that the devil gives. That is, the condemnation that the devil gives through people that talk against this prideful elder. You see, in verse 7, he says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Well, the reproach and the snare of the devil in verse 7 refer to the reproaches that the devil gives, that is, through his people, through people that follow him, and the snare, that is, the trap of the devil, is the trap or the snare that the devil lays for him, falling into his trap, so to speak. So it could be that what Paul is saying in verse 6 when he talks about the condemnation of the devil is that an elder who gets the big head, an elder who becomes prideful, is going to be spoken evil of by people and he is going to be criticized unmercifully. Either way, this passage shows that if an elder becomes prideful, he's going to ruin his influence and the congregation is going to suffer as a result. Now let's look at verse 7. The qualification that Paul gives here is that an elder must have, notice, he must have a good report of them which are without. Now, a good report means a good name. It means a good reputation, and how important that is. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks a lot about a good reputation. And in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, Solomon said, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." Solomon said that having a good reputation is more important, it is more valuable than having a lot of money. It is more important to have a good reputation than it is to be wealthy. How many people today believe that? How many people today would take that seriously? How many people in the church would actually agree with what Solomon says? Solomon says it's much better to have a good reputation than to have much money. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1, Solomon said, "A good name is better than precious ointment." Now, back in Bible times, precious ointment was very expensive. It was rare. It was sought after. Solomon said, "You're better off to have a good reputation than to have all kinds of precious ointment." It means that much. As a matter of fact, it takes years to build a good reputation. People have to see your life. They have to watch you. They have to see how you handle different situations. They have to see how you're going to respond and react in different circumstances. That takes time. But even though it takes years to build a good reputation, the tragic thing is that it can only take a few minutes to destroy a good reputation. This is what Solomon was talking about in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. He said, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor." It only takes a few dead flies in that ointment to cause it to stink. "So does a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." You can take a man who has a good reputation. He has a good name for being wise and for being respectable. That is, an honorable person. And it only takes, Solomon says, a little folly, a little foolishness that he's guilty of, a little bit of sin to ruin that good reputation. Well, the Bible says that an elder must have a good reputation. And notice what he says. He has to have a good reputation of people without. Now, the word "without" here means outside. That is, outside the church. Of course, he's to have a good reputation inside the church, but this passage says that he is to have a good reputation of people outside the church. He is to have a good name in the community. He is to have a good reputation for being honest, for being sincere, and for being helpful. Now, this, of course, goes along with verse 2, because the Bible says that an elder must be blameless. He is to have a good reputation of people that are on the outside. Now, of course, this cannot mean that everybody is going to like him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if everybody speaks well of you, then there's something wrong with your faith. Luke 6, verse 26. So a man who is an elder is going to have people who don't like him because he is a Christian. Because of his stand for the truth, some people are going to oppose him and even be his enemies. But in general, on the outside of the church, people know him, and they know that he is not a hypocrite. They know that he is an honest man. They respect him, even if they don't agree with him. Otherwise, Paul says, he's going to be reproached. He is going to fall into the snare of the devil because people will attack him and ruin his influence. So those are the last two qualifications in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, for a man who is going to be an elder or bishop in the church.